Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And it's always a blessing to come to church and know that you're going to hear good music. You're going to have an opportunity to sing praises through good congregational hymns. And then you're going to be able to open up your Bible and be study the Word of God, be taught something from the Word of God. What a blessing that is. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. On Wednesday nights, we've been going through and studying on the life of Elijah. And boy, there's so much there, and we've gone through so much already. It's been some time since that we've been started and teaching on the life of Elijah. And we're actually coming to the end of it. And we looked at last week that Elijah knew of his departure. We knew that he knew that this would be the last day that he would live on the planet Earth, and God had some things that he wanted him to accomplish before he would call him on to glory, before his departure. And we studied that last week, and the idea, what we learned from that, is we need to use our life to help others to be prepared for eternity. But not only do we need to live our lives, but we need to use our departure. We need to use our homegoing. We need to use our deaths. God wants to use our lives and our deaths. And praise the Lord. I want God to be glorified in my life as I live. And when that time comes and it's time for me to go on to glory, whenever that might be, I want God to be glorified in and through that. And as long as you're walking in the will of God, you can know that you will never die prematurely. And a loved one will never die prematurely. If you're walking with God, then God has a purpose, a plan. He can use not only your life, but he will use your homegoing. He can use your departure of this life. And so we was looking at that last week, and I trust that was a help to you. If we look back here to 2 Kings chapter 2, we're going to just read the first three verses here tonight. And so if you'll go ahead and stand with me, we'll read this together. We're going to be studying here the next couple lessons, and we've only got a few more to go, but next couple lessons is how God used Elijah's last day on the earth, and then how God would use his homegoing, and his the way that he went home was something, as we even mentioned last week, it was different than anyone else's. And when you get ready to leave this world, or if you have someone that you have just lost, you need to study how God took Elijah home. Because physically, in that they seen him go up in a whirlwind without ever experiencing death. But that takes place every time a Christian dies. There is a spiritual whirlwind, and that spirit leaves. You can't see it, but you can know it's taking place. He's given us a picture through Elijah's whirlwind experience, but that whirlwind experience, we'll all experience that when our physical lives come to an end. And spiritually, we are going to be caught up into glory, and what a blessing that is. But here in 2 Kings chapter 2, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this evening again, we thank you for the blessings we've already received by being in church tonight. And now I just pray, God, that each one of us would just clear out our hearts and our minds and be open to whatever you have for us. I pray that you'd empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, the first thing that we find here is Elijah knew that this would be the last day that he would be walking on this planet Earth, that he was very sensitive to the Lord's leading. And the Lord led him, as he says here in verse 2, he says, and Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And we'll see how that God directs him to three different locations before he would take him up in a whirlwind. And there is a reason for each one of these locations, and we're going to be studying those here in the next couple of weeks here. But the first thing we look at here is the Lord has sent me to Bethel. Elijah was following God's leading. And that's the way we ought to live our lives. As I said before, let God have His glory in your life as you live. And if you're following God's lead, then you'll never be outside of God's will. If you're following God's lead, then God can use your life and He can work through your life. And in working through your life, the Great Commission is basically what we're doing is preparing others to be prepared for eternity. And we're living our lives and helping others to prepare for eternity. If you're being led by God, that's our purpose that we're here. That's God's purpose for this church, to be the light of the world, to help the world to know that they need to turn to God. And His blessings are what they need to look to, and His will is what they need to seek after. And so Elijah was following God's leading. And this is how we ought to live our life, but especially if you know you're coming to the end of your life and you're getting ready to go on to glory, you're getting ready to meet your Lord face to face, then you definitely, if you know that ahead of time, then you definitely want to do everything you can to make sure that you're being led by the Spirit of God. And whatever you're doing in those last years, whatever you're doing in that last hour, you need to be clear that you're doing exactly what God would have you to do. You have to have the peace about that, because that's the way to go on to glory. That's the way, is knowing there's nothing between me and my Savior. Knowing that I am right in the middle of God's will. No matter what else is going on around me, but I'm in the middle of God's will, that I am ready. And when God chooses to take me home, it means that He's going to be glorified in my home going, and I'm going to be able to see the Lord and meet with Him face to face, and it will be a very pleasant experience. And so that's what we find here. Elijah, knowing that it was his last day, and he was made sure that everyone knew that it's God that's led me here. First of all, God is leading me to Bethel, and there's nothing going to keep me from going to Bethel. And so we find that Elijah presents this to Elisha. Now there's three different ones that will be affected by this last day of Elijah on the earth. And that's what we're going to be looking at. The one that's going to be affected by it was Elijah. I mean, he was very much aware of, this is my last day, and I want to finish my course. I want to make sure that I am doing whatever God would have me to do. The next one that we find that the Bible records here that's going to be impacted by this more than anyone else is Elisha. Because Elisha would be the one that he was mentoring. Elisha was the one that he was preparing to take over his responsibilities, if you will. He was going to be the next prophet in the land. And so the next one that would be impacted by this would be Elisha. And then the other would be the sons of the prophets. These are the three that God gives to us concerning that will be impacted by Elijah and his last day on the earth. And so that's the three that we're looking at here. And so as we look here, these are the three that talks about, but God first of all directs him to go to Bethel. Now, why would that be? God doesn't do anything without there being a purpose for that. And there was a purpose for all three of them to go and to experience what Elijah would experience at Bethel. Now, in order for us to fully understand that, we need to study about what Bethel represented, what this area, this location was. Genesis in chapter 28, look back there with me. Genesis in chapter 28. In Genesis chapter 28, Bethel means house of God. El Bethel means the house of God. But Bethel means house of God. And we find this being brought up in Genesis chapter 28. Now, this was a situation where Jacob, if you remember, he was the seed of Isaac, and Isaac was the seed of Abraham. And God had made a covenant with Abraham and his seed. And so now we find that Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then the 12 tribes of Israel through Joseph. But we find here that Jacob had a twin, and most of us here tonight would know about the story of Jacob and Esau. And Esau did not he did not appreciate the blessing that would be associated with this covenant. Jacob desired that blessing. He wanted that blessing. And we find that he didn't go about it the right way, but because of what he did, then he would have to flee Esau because he felt like that his blessing, being the eldest, the firstborn, would have been stolen from him. Then Jacob was instructed to leave and go to a place where he would be safe for a while. And on his departure and on his way to Haran, we find here that God meets with Jacob. And Genesis chapter 28, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, "And he dreamed on his journey, he stopped, and in his dream, and of course the Old Testament times, we know God would work through dreams and visions, and he dreamed and beheld a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold the angels of God ascending and descending on it." He was given a spiritual vision as to what has taken place, the spiritual reality of this physical world. And there's angels ascending and descending. And there is a connection between humanity and Almighty God. And then it says in verse 13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Okay, so this is what God's revealing to him. God is telling Jacob as he leaves, that he is confirming to him the Abrahamic covenant. And this birthright that Jacob had now, because he had the desire for the birthright, would include being part of that seed line that God would bless the world through. And so as Jacob is leaving and possibly not understanding fully, he had not met with God up to this point, as far as we see in the scriptures, that what this meant, he just knew that he desired that. And now God meets with him and God reveals to him that God, who made this covenant with Abraham, has now meeting with Jacob and confirming to Jacob what God is going to do for Jacob. If you look on down, if you will, to verse 20, this is what God is going to do for Jacob. Now Jacob makes a vow to God. If this is what God is going to do for Jacob, then Jacob is going to commit his life to God. When you know what God has done for you, and God's loved you, and God has sent his son to die for you, and God is doing everything to try to help you to accomplish the greatest accomplishment in this world is God's will for your life. And so this is what God, through this covenant, said, this is what you're going to receive from me. This is what I'm going to give to you. And now Jacob answers, if you will. He wakes up and he realizes that he's on holy ground here. And chapter 28, verse 20 says this, "And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me." Now he knew this because this is what God had just told him. God just told him, you're going to carry the promised seed. You're going to have the covenant that I made with Abraham. And so Jacob, understanding this, it says, "If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all of that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Now, this was Bethel. This was the place. That's what he says in verse 19. "And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first." So this, we find, is this place of Bethel. This is where God now is directing Elijah to go to, and how that as he goes there, there's going to be something that's going to impact his life. It will also impact Elisha's life, and it will also impact the sons of the prophets' lives. And so as we look here, the first thing we understand is Elijah going back there would have known this story. Elijah, when he got to this idea of Bethel, he would have realized what had taken place at Bethel. God reveals to Jacob what God will do for Jacob in a covenant. And Jacob turns around and makes vows in this covenant what he will do concerning God. He would be his God. Verse 21, he says there, "Then shall the Lord be my God. I will not be looking for any other small letter G gods. I will not be looking for any other doctrine. I'll not be looking for anything else to take the place of my God. Once I understand that God loved me enough to send his only begotten son to die for me, and I've received that gift of everlasting life, then in my heart I make a vow, because I have received the gift, I believed in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then I am making a vow, I am committing my life to Christ, to be my Lord and to be my Savior." And when you get saved and you realize who Jesus Christ is and he is the Lord of your life, then it's settled in your heart. It needs to be settled in your heart. I'm not going to be looking for another God. I'm not going to be looking for another religion. I'm not going to be looking for different doctrines. I am going to be satisfied. I'm going to be settled with the doctrines of Christ. That's what Bethel represented. Bethel would represent God's covenant with Jacob, and then Jacob's vow to God. The first vow would realize that God would be his God, period. The second vow that he would make is that he would acknowledge God's house. He would call this place Bethel, and that would mean the house of God. And he says, "And the stone which I set for a pillar that shall be God's house." I'm going to acknowledge that God has a place. For wherever I come to and wherever I come back to this, I am going to acknowledge this as God's house. This is a place of worship. This is a place where God met with me. This is a place where I received the covenant of God. This is a place that I made my vows to God as well. God's house is important. And so Jacob here, by saying that, is saying, I will always acknowledge God's house, and I will always be in God's house. And the third thing that he would vow, that he would acknowledge God's ownership of his life by giving him 10% of his substance, whatever God would bless him with. That's a vow that he made. Genesis chapter 31. Now before this, now he goes on into Haran, and he spends some time there, and God prepares him through a lot of circumstances, a lot of situations there. Now he's got his family, and he is ready now to go back and be what he needs to be back in the land. In Genesis chapter 31 and verse 11, here the Bible says, "And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and gristled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest a pillar and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out of this land and return unto the land of thy kindred." There's been many a messages, and I've preached several in my ministry concerning returning to Bethel. Back to Bethel. Because so many times that's what we have to do. We have lost sight of God's commitment to us and our commitment to God. And if we are going to stay within the will of God, if we are going to live and accomplish what God would have us to accomplish in our lifetime, especially as we start coming to the end of our lives, when it's even more critical that I know that I'm walking exactly where God would have me to walk, and God is going to be glorified not only in my life, but he will be glorified in my departure, in my death. I've got to know that I am fully aware of what God has done for me, and I've got to be fully aware of what I have vowed to do for God. So Elijah goes to Bethel because God knew that he would know exactly what Bethel would represent, and what Elijah needed to do is to be reminded Because with this memory of what God did for Jacob and what Jacob vowed to do for him, he would remember when God called him and what God promised him and what God vowed to him and what he vowed to God. And he would finish his life exactly the way God would have him to finish it. He would finish his course. He wouldn't drop out too early. He wouldn't get afraid that this is my last day. What am I going to do? I don't want to die. Whatever it might have been. He understood that it was God who directed him through his life. And it was God who was to be glorified through his life. And it would be God that would be glorified through his death. You don't have to fear death when you're walking in the will of God. Not going to die prematurely. Not saying you're not going to die, it's appointed that a man wants to die, but you're not going to die prematurely because God is going to be glorified in your departure. Amen. So that's what Elijah got out of going back to Bethel. Always remember God's commitment to you and your commitment to Him. And it should be the very same thing. I am never going to look away from you. I'm not looking for any other gods. I'm not looking for any other doctrine. I want the doctrine of the only God that there is. I want the doctrine in this New Testament of the only Savior there is. And I am going to acknowledge His house, which today is the church. I will not forsake the house of God. I will not forsake the church. And I will give Him. I will show God's ownership of my life. And I will do that by giving 10% of my increase. Amen. Yeah. So that's why Bethel. What would Elisha get out of it? Now, in 2 Kings chapter 2, go back with me now, because now we know they're in Bethel. And that's what was going to fire Elijah up. And he's going to go back and he's going to preach to the prophets, the sons of the prophets. And can I tell you, he will preach to the sons of the prophets exactly what Bethel did for him. What he just, because that was on his heart and mind, and that's how God was preparing him. And he would, but how would it affect Elisha? Elijah didn't make the decision that Elisha had to make easy for him. Now, Elisha knew he was to be mentored by Elijah. Elisha knew, and now he had been with Elijah for a few years, he knew that God had called him and that he was to be mentored, if you will, discipled by Elijah. And it had been some time now that he had been following Elijah around and he had been learning from Elijah. But this is the very last opportunity that Elisha would have to glean and be mentored from Elijah. Elisha knew he was to be mentored by Elijah. He knew this to be God's will for his life. As he knew it would be God's will for his life, he would have to make the commitment to doing it. Can I tell you, God will never force you to do his will. Now, if you don't, you might get to the point to where you say, I wish I would have. Because you get to choose whether or not you'll do it or not, but you don't get to choose the consequences. You don't get to choose the chastisement. You don't get to choose what takes place when you find yourself turning away from God, turning away from the house of God, turning away from revealing God's ownership of my life through my tithe. You don't get to choose. Now, you get to choose whether you're going to do that. You don't get to choose what happens if you don't. Amen? Because God is never going to, and He does not force, nor does God tempt someone to do right. Satan is the tempter. He'll always tempt you to do wrong. You'll never be tempted by God to do right. Because God does not tempt and God is not tempted. The Bible clearly reveals that to us. So if you're waiting for God to dangle a carrot in front of your eyes for you to go to church, it ain't going to happen. God does not tempt. So Elisha, being mentored, if you will, discipled. Can I tell you, where does God want all believers to be discipled? The church. That's right. That's why he's established a church. It's a place to where when you come, you can be discipled. You can understand more about the things of God. You can hear the preaching and you can hear the teaching. You can be taught the songs. You can be taught the verses. You can be taught the very ways and the will of God. But God is never going to force you to go to church. But that's exactly where he wants you to be discipled. When you get saved, the Spirit of God indwells within you. He will convict you about getting yourself in church. First of all, to identify with Jesus and be baptized. If it's not for the church, you don't have biblical baptism. And it's not, if it's not for you going to a biblical church that has biblical doctrine, which is the true church, you do not have biblical baptism. If you do not have biblical baptism, you cannot be in the center of God's will. To be in the center of God's will, you first of all got to be saved. You got to be baptized, and you've got to be living for Christ. The very commitments that we find that Jacob made at Bethel. And what he told him, he said, Jacob, it's time to get back to Bethel and remember what I've committed to you and remember what you've committed to me and make a difference. Let that make a difference. So Elisha, he would have to stay with Elijah to get everything that God wanted him to get in discipling him, being mentored by him. Elisha didn't tempt him. Look what he did, just the opposite. He says, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. You can stay. You can stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. You can stay here. God's told me, I know God's will for my life. I don't know if you do or not, but God, I know God's will for my life. I'm going to Bethel. You can stay here if you want. That's not tempting him to go with him. That's saying you better understand God's will for your life. And if God told you to follow me, you don't need me to tempt you to follow me. You don't need me to entice you to follow me. You need to stand on your own two feet. Besides, this is the last day, the last opportunity you have. I want to make sure that you're ready for this. You have to learn to start making decisions on your own. That's exactly what he was doing with Elisha, knowing that he was mentoring him. And this is the last day. You either got it or you're never going to get it. But I'm going to Bethel because there's something that I need to remember, be reminded of. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, I'm serving the same God you are. If he directed you, I'm letting him direct me. And as my soul liveth, as long as I have breath, God's going to be glorified in my life. I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Over my dead body are you going without me? That's a pretty good commitment. Over my dead body, I'm going to have to die before I ever turn away from God. Nothing's going to keep me from serving God. Nothing's going to keep me from honoring his church and supporting his church. And nothing is going to keep me from tithing. That's just a commitment. That's what Bethel represented. He knew he'd be tested. Elijah knew that Elisha would continue to be tested. What better way than for him to put him through the test? See, when you know what God would have you to do, just do it. You just need to do it. The longer you wait, or the more you put it off, the more you give Satan opportunity to blind you to it, and then to tempt you as to go a different direction. Don't be waiting to be tempted to do what you know God would have you to do. Don't you wait on God to tempt you to be faithful to church. If you know it's what God's will is for your life, just do it. You just commit to it. Will He bless? Yes, He will. But that's not the reason to do it. Well, I'm going to go to church today because I just want God's blessing today. I'm not going to go next week because I got something else going on. I'll just kind of forfeit God's blessings next Sunday. But I'll go the next Sunday because I want God's blessings, and I know that God will bless me if I go to church. And so you're choosing and you're doing it out of wanting God's blessings. And you're making your own heart and mind. You're developing this thought. When I want the blessings of God, I go, but it's not really necessary to be there every Sunday. I just whenever I want God's blessings. If you do it for God's blessings, that's what you will end up coming up with. That will be your mentality. But that's not why you do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is what Elijah is getting across to Elisha. I'm not making the decision for you. God's not going to make it for you. You have to stand on your own two feet, and you need to start making the decisions you know is in God's will for your life. Just do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Yeah, that's, wow. I'm going to sow, if I sow sparingly, then God's only going to partially bless me. And he that which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So, yeah, if I do that, the more I give, the more I'm going to get back. And so, is that the motive for giving? Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And if you're giving cheerfully, the Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Okay, so we find that God does bless faithful obedience, but it's not to be done out of necessity. It's not to be done grudgingly. I'm going to give because I want God's blessings. Oh, well, I could sure think of a lot of other things I could be doing with that tithe. I'm going to go Sunday because I want God's blessing, but boy, I could think of a lot of other things I could be doing. That's grudgingly. And then also when you do go ahead and go anyway, it's out of necessity. It's out of, if I want God's blessings, I've got to do it. It's necessary, the necessary thing that I have to do. God says, that's not why you do it. Did you see what it says on why to do it? But every man according as he purposeth in his heart. God's done for me, and I'm aware of it, and this is what I'm going to vow to do for the Lord. And I've purposed in my heart. That's how I'm going to continue to live. Not looking for another religion. Once I know that I have the truth, once I know that I have the right doctrine, it's over. I'm not looking for another doctrine. Once I know I'm where God has planted me in the church, I'm going to acknowledge the church. I'm not going to forsake the church at any time. And I'm going to tithe. Why? Purposed it in my heart. That's just what a Christian does. That's what God's expectations of my life is all about. I know what God has committed to me, what He's done for me. And I have purpose in my heart to do what God wants me to do for Him. Amen. So Elisha is the one that's going to take over for Elijah once Elijah is gone. If he doesn't have this down pat, who else is going to? He's the prophet in the land. He's the one to set the example. He's the one to teach and to preach the very will of God to the people. Important. Just do it. Yeah. There's blessings attached, and no doubt about it, but I'm not doing it for the blessing's sake. I'm doing it because it's purpose in my heart. That'll never go away. If you made that vow is for life. Yeah. Well, the sons of the prophets, the third one that would benefit from this. What does it say there? Go back with me and we're done. Just very briefly here. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Now, how did they find that out? Not only only the sons of the prophets, and he said, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. I understand. You don't have to preach to me. I know it. I believe, don't know, we just know that they knew. I believe one of the reasons that Elijah went back is to encourage and preach to the sons of the prophets were those that were in training. They were the sons of the prophets. That means that it was passed down. They were committing their lives to the ministry, if you will. They were to observe the faith and commitment of both Elijah and who would take his place. See, all are to learn from all of God's servants who have been tried and tested. God's brought people into our lives that have been faithful. And we can be encouraged by their faithfulness. The sons of the prophets were there, and they were to, I believe Elijah addressed them, and Elijah told them, God's going to take me home today. I've got this peace about that. I've got this dying grace. And if you're around, you're going to see God work miracle here that's going to be an encouragement, a help to you. And you'll be able to see Elisha. I don't know that he let Elisha in on that, but you're going to be able to see Elisha, whether or not he is a true prophet of God and how he deals with this as well. We're going to see some of that in just a little bit. Not tonight, but as we continue to study. But they were to learn. They were to observe the faith and commitment of Elijah and Elisha. Once Elijah was gone, have a memory of this powerful servant that would never leave them. And also have enough respect for the one that took his place and allow God to work through him once Elijah was gone. Hebrews 13, we're done. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Listen and observe their life. Very important. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you. Remember those, they might have already dead and gone, but remember their faithful service to God that impacted your life. Could be those who are still alive, might be Elisha now. Remember what he's saying, listen to him. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, keeping an eye on their testimony, keeping an eye on their faith and commitment to God. And once they have proven themselves and you know this is somebody that you can look to and see Christ in, let them be an encouragement to you to be all that God wants you to be. You see, going back to Bethel would help Elijah, it would help Elisha, and it would help the sons of the prophet. Maybe tonight, God's telling you, go back to Bethel. Go back to Bethel. You might need that tonight. Remember what God has done for you and what you've committed to do for God. Just do it. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know just how God might have spoke to you through that. It's praise the Lord for the history, the understanding of the scriptures, understanding of why he would go to Bethel and all the implications. But did you let God maybe apply that to a need that you have tonight? You let God apply that to maybe something that you need to remember concerning what God's done for you and what he expects from you to do for him? I don't know. But right now is an invitation. We're not going to have a musical invitation, but there's an opportunity right now for you to respond. God spoke to you tonight, and you need to come to the altar. Maybe you just need to, in your own mind, go back to Bethel. Have you forgotten what God's done for you? Have you forgotten possibly a vow that you made to him? Anyone else? Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the life of Elijah and being able to study this and apply these biblical principles to our lives today. I pray that you'd help each one of us to do that even now. As we get ready to leave, Father, I pray that you'd watch over us, get us home safely tonight, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.